everyone. In this video, we're going to walk through how to determine daily calorie goals. So I often get asked by athletes and fitness enthusiasts, well, how much food should I be eating? How do I know how to set my calorie goals for the day? Or again, just kind of walking through that process. So in this video, we're going to kind of determine or walk you through how to determine, you know, ways to estimate your daily energy requirements or how many calories you should be consuming on a daily basis. So if we kind of go over a quick backstory here, we really need to figure out how many calories you're burning throughout the day in order to work backwards from that in establishing your kind of calorie goals or calorie targets for that specific day. So it sounds simple, but it's actually, you know, quite complex when we look at all the factors that are going to influence daily calorie expenditure and therefore how much we need to be eating in a way to kind of match that. But as we look at kind of the sport nutrition side of this and looking at athletes, they very much need to really match their output or their energy expenditure on a daily basis in order to optimize training, enhance recovery, and ensure that they're kind of maintaining their training adaptations, that being strength, size, speed, power, etc. Because if they underfuel consistently, that's where they start to run into problems, might start losing muscle, get weaker, more fatigued, increased risk of injury, etc. So again, that's why it's so important to try to match how many calories you're burning on a daily basis when we work backwards from that to establish your kind of daily calorie goals. Now, if we look at all the things that are going to influence how many calories you need to be eating, first and foremost, body size is hands down the biggest predictor of how many calories you need. So in short, the bigger you are, the more calories you're going to need to maintain body size or body mass. You're just a bigger human. You burn more calories throughout the day because of that, and it takes more energy to support your increased body size. Second to that, activity levels are also going to strongly influence a person's calorie requirements on a daily basis. So if they're very, very active, like we see in a lot of athletes, might have morning lift, afternoon practice, or weekend tournaments, whatever, they're much more active than kind of the general population, and certainly those who are more sedentary. So when we look at the calorie needs for an athlete, it very well could be double what a sedentary person might require, even though they might be similar age and size. I have a short list here of other factors that have been known to influence kind of daily energy expenditure and a person's calorie requirements. They're less so or less of an influence than what we mentioned first and foremost with body size and activity level. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail there. If we look at kind of the gold standard ways to evaluate a person's calorie requirements, we have these laboratory techniques that require a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of expertise, oftentimes very specialized equipment, and so much that it's not really even practical to use in a daily basis or even in athletic settings, even with kind of the financial resources that professional teams or Division I, you know, programs may have at the collegiate level. So when we hear things like metabolic chambers or doubly labeled water, those are very high-end sophisticated techniques that are used to measure kind of 24-hour energy expenditure of humans. And so really a lot of, you know, more commercially available techniques or more practical techniques, hopefully, I guess, have been validated against these kind of gold standard approaches that are used in laboratory situations. And then we kind of extrapolate from those or estimate, you know, how other technologies and practical options might closely, you know, kind of estimate that same calorie value or energy expenditure value. So again, we're not going to go into a lot of detail here. Just know there's very high-end, expensive, and very much accurate techniques available to measure energy expenditure. But again, not really practical for situations that athletes are going to find themselves in. And so if we look then at how to determine how active a person is on a daily basis or how much energy that are expending throughout the day, I would say the most common technique to go about this is the use of indirect calorimetry. So if you've ever done this test where you come into a lab or whatever kind of sports science facility, they may have various metabolic carts or, you know, chambers available, not chambers, metabolic carts or gas analyzers available that are going to measure the air that you're expiring. And then through that and some kind of high-end equations, it can estimate with a high degree of accuracy how many calories your body burns at rest. And so usually we call that resting metabolic rate, baseline metabolism. Again, there's some different words that are sometimes used interchangeably there, but it's really just describing how many calories your body needs at rest. So if you're to just lay in bed all day, lay on the couch, not move, that's what the resting metabolic rate is going to kind of tell us, how many calories, again, you would burn under resting conditions, just not really doing anything. And so that is, again, I would say a more accurate way to go about determining a person's resting metabolism. We also have various prediction equations where you can enter in, age, height, weight, sometimes fat-free mass, et cetera, and it'll then estimate your resting metabolic rate. We've used these in various research studies and found that unfortunately they're not the most accurate, especially for athletes. They tend to underestimate resting metabolic rate. So here I just have some quick screenshots of one of our previous publications when we actually looked to see how accurate resting metabolic rate prediction equations were when we compared them back to actual measured resting metabolic rate. And you can see pretty consistently there, the predicted values tend to underestimate an athlete's resting metabolic rate, whether it's a male athlete or same story in female athletes. And so here again in the figure, we can see compared to the actual measured values down here at the bottom, depending on the specific equation, some were better than others, but quite consistently, they underestimate resting metabolic rate. So just keep that in mind if you're using a prediction equation. You may want to bump up a couple extra 100 calories to get you in a better range in terms of determining resting metabolic rate. But regardless, that would be kind of step one in the process. And then step two is we need to add in the extra energy that you're going to be burning throughout the day based on how active you are. And so we use things called activity factors or physical activity levels, which is kind of a multiplication factor. That allows us to then estimate again how active you are the rest of the day. And once we've established that activity level, it's a simple multiplication of the activity factor with your resting metabolic rate. And it gives us a ballpark value of your total daily energy expenditure or how many calories you are burning throughout a 24-hour period. And so, as you might expect, this isn't 100% accurate, right? Because we're relying on somewhat of a subjective estimate when it comes to your activity level. There's different tables and different descriptors that you'll likely come across. Again, depending on the population that you might be working with, some are more specific to athletes and what their activity could look like in terms of practices, competitions, lifts, et cetera. But I would say for the most part, at least at the collegiate level, most of the athletes in season are probably going to be around a 1.6, 1.7 kind of activity factor. So just for context, again, if you're someone who sits at a desk all day, maybe works out 3 days a week, and you find yourself thinking, yeah, I'm pretty active, that's probably a moderate activity level, I should be a 1.6, 1.7. Now, I would put you more so at like a 1.3. Okay. So here for 1.6, 1.7, again, this would be reserved for someone who's walking around campus all day. They have a morning lift, then they go to a practice for 2, 3 hours later in the afternoon. Again, that's probably a 1.6, 1.7 activity factor that, again, we would just multiply that against your resting metabolic rate, and that's going to give us that estimated value. If you want the Cliff Notes version of this, or kind of a shortcut approach, take your body weight in pounds, multiply it by 18 and 22. That's going to give you a range then of, again, kind of calorie requirements on a daily basis. So the reason why I usually provide kind of two anchors for a low and a high end is to, again, give you a ballpark range to work with. Again, you can see here some examples of the math played out for a 135-pound athlete. That will equate to about 2,400 calories or about 3,000 calories per day. A little bit more, obviously, for the bigger athlete, right? Bigger athletes burn more calories, so they have higher calorie needs. But usually what I'll tell the athlete then is to use this as kind of a way to titrate your activity level up or down, and therefore adjust your calorie intake. So if it's a light day, maybe just a light walk through, light lift, you're probably closer to the lower end of this versus maybe you have 2 days in preseason camp, you're probably on the higher end. And so you might want to add in an extra meal or snack to kind of reflect that change in activity level to kind of get you in the appropriate range there for your calorie intake. So if we look at, again, kind of the math played out here, depending on different body weight, depending on different activity levels and kind of level of athlete that you might be working with or find yourself being, you could see the calorie requirements are going to be heavily influenced again by body size, right? Bigger athletes require more calories down here, and then also with the activity level as well. So that's kind of the way we go about determining energy requirements or calorie targets for athletes. And if you want to then know, how much are you eating, there's various nutrition trackers available that you can often download, use on your phone, kind of recording your daily intake throughout the day. And depending on the program that you're using, it should give you some kind of running value of, hey, you've eaten 3,000 whatever calories throughout the day. Your goal based on, the steps that we've already gone through says you should be eating 3,400 calories. Therefore, you have about 200 left that you should consume to kind of match your calorie expenditure. And again, keep in mind here, all of the things we discussed in this video is based on weight maintenance. In another video, we'll talk about how to gain weight versus how to lose weight and how we then adjust some of these calorie targets based on that body weight goal. So again, these nutrition trackers are a good way to monitor how much you're eating and how close you are to the calorie targets. We can also look to symptom-based, reports from athletes. If you find yourself being tired, low motivation to train, heavy legs, during practice, et cetera, low energy, those would all be kind of red flags or indicators that you might not be eating enough. We could certainly point to lack of sleep or overtraining as other kind of culprits in this. But again, these are some of the things I'll tell athletes to pay attention to. If you find yourself feeling this way, one of the first things I start asking is, well, how much are you eating? And, what kinds of things are you eating, et cetera. In female athletes, if they start to notice menstrual irregularities, that would also be kind of a red flag that they might not be consuming enough food or enough calories. And then what their weight is doing. So weight loss, from 1 week to the next would certainly be an indication that you're under fueling or not consuming enough calories throughout the season. But then vice versa, if you're gaining weight, that again was going to be an indication that you're likely over consuming calories and eating too much based on your calorie goal. I'm not really talking within day fluctuation. It's completely normal to add or lose, a couple pounds throughout the day or at the start of the day, depending on, when you're measuring body weight. This is more so day to day or really week to week in terms of weight loss trends or weight gain trends. So measuring within day again is not really a good indication of what your true weight is and any actual weight change over time. We really need to take a step back and look at week to week fluctuations or averages to really kind of get a sense for if you're feeling enough or over consuming based on calorie goals. So again, this is kind of the process that I use when I work with athletes. Hopefully you found this helpful. Always reach out if you have any other questions or ever want to come in and do this metabolic test. We certainly have this equipment available and do it all the time with athletes. Very easy to complete. So if you want to really kind of dial in what your true calorie needs are, again, feel free to reach out and we can kind of set you up to do that. Thanks and hope you enjoy the video.